Well, we want to welcome everyone to Murrayville Baptist Church. If you're glad that you're in the house of God this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. No, let's do it a little bit better than that, a little bit louder than that. I know you're sleepy and tired and just getting up. Probably some of you just got out of bed about 15 minutes ago. So let's say it a little bit louder. If you're glad that you're in God's house this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good to see all of you this morning. We appreciate all of you being here. Let's all stand to open in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Stacy Roberts, if he will, to open us in prayer this morning.
Father, as we come to you this morning, God, I just want to thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. Lord, how we realize this morning, God, that we don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to live in a country where we have the freedom to come here. God, we consider those around the world, God, that, Lord, this morning they're not free to go into your house. They're not free to gather together and worship, but God, they're under persecution. They're being slaughtered. They're being persecuted, God, for the name of Christ. But here we are this morning, God, on padded pews and the heat and the air conditioning, God, a comfortable environment, able to come without fear of our life, fear of loss this morning, God, just the freedom to worship you. And Father, I pray that this morning that each of us, God, in our hearts and our minds would prepare ourselves to come in here, to let go of everything else, God, that might hinder this service. God, to allow you to have free reign in this service this morning. Lord, I pray for those that will be singing, God. I pray that as they lift up their voice in song, God, that you'd be magnified and glorified. Lord, I don't believe there's anybody in this place that came just to be seen, that came to put on a show. God, we're here this morning, God, seeking you. And Lord, I pray this morning that the Holy Ghost would meet with us in a mighty way. Thank you for your promise, Lord. If we're two or three were gathered together, there you would be in the midst of them. And God, how we're looking for you this morning, how we're looking for a moving of the Holy Ghost as we gather in this place just to uplift your name, to draw off the fellowship of one another, to edify one another, and to praise and to worship you this morning. Lord, we thank you, God, again, for being so good to us. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Now just open us up, God, as we begin this service. God, I pray, be glorified from the very first amen to the very last amen this morning. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bottom of the page. That's all right. Go ahead. We know.
Let's go. page 52.
I need thee.
watch and pray, for ye do not the day when the Savior will come again. Keep pressing on, live for Jesus, sing his song, till he calls his church away. Watch and pray, oh, watch and pray, for ye do not the day when the Savior will come again. Keep pressing on.
Save a sinner like you. Amen. I need to make a couple of announcements this morning. Normally at Christmas time, we would station a mailbox, a Christmas mailbox out in the hallway, but we're not going to be doing that this year, and I just wanted to let you know about that so you wouldn't be planning on bringing a bunch of cards and stuffing them in the mailbox this year. For the COVID and safety reasons, we're not doing that. And I needed to mention to all the young people in the room this morning, all the youth, Miss Janet wants to meet with every one of you after service this morning to go over some songs. The young people are practicing some Christmas songs together to to sing for us the Sunday before Christmas, which will be on the 20th, and I'm excited about it already. The kids, the little tiny kids, I mean, if they can't even talk, she wants them in the choir. Amen. And so that'll be right after morning service. Matter of fact, from now until then, after morning service, the young people will be practicing for that. And I know how they've blessed our hearts in the past at Christmas time singing. So the other night, we had Brandon and Ashley over, and they brought their children, and we were out riding the Kubota through our neighborhood, and the two kids were singing at the top of their lungs, "I'm so glad it's Christmas. Happy birthday, Jesus." Oh, we had a good time. But you pray for those young people that God would anoint them and touch them, as I know He will, that God would bless them and we'd have a good service right before Christmas. Take our Bibles and be turning to Luke chapter number 2 this morning. Luke chapter number 2. Let's do a little something this morning before we get started. We got a new church member in the auditorium. We need to reintroduce. We introduced her for the first time since she's been born Wednesday night, but I want more of our people to get to know her, so you bring Kennedy on up here, Samuel McKenzie. And these are some very proud parents right here, I'm telling you. Yeah. This is Miss Kennedy Grace. Amen. Isn't she beautiful? A gift straight from God to us. Amen. No doubt in my mind where that came from. That's not a product of evolution. That's from God. Amen. We watched for 9 months as God fashioned that little baby in her womb. And now we see it with our eyes. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And there it is right there. Y'all want to brag on her a little bit? Oh, amen. I tell you what, let's just stand and pray over this child together. And I'm thankful that God has blessed them. I watched them go through the loss of their first child, but now they're holding the blessings of God in their arms, and what a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. I just can't get over it. Amen. Brother Terry Ransom, you pray for us this morning.
Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness, for your mercy. God, we thank you, God, for Brother Samuel and Sister McKenzie. God, I pray that you just touch them, Lord, that you would God, help them to always raise this baby, God, up in the way that you have to go. God, that they would always keep it for God. Lord, we know that, God, they're proud right now, God, and I pray, God, that you just bless this home, God, like you never have before. God, we thank you for what they mean to our church and what they do for our church. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you just continue to have your blessings. God, bless the brothers of this service this morning. God, you know what needs to be said and what needs to be done. God, we glorify you for everything. In your precious name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's give that to God. Amen. Amen. All right, remain standing with your Bibles open this morning. Luke chapter number 2. Got a little thought on our heart that we want to try to preach to you. And pray that it'd be a blessing in your heart. Luke chapter number 2, we're going to begin in verse number 8 and read down through verse number 20. But there's some things that I want to show you out of this chapter, the whole chapter. But this is what we're going to use for our opening reading this morning. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8, it says it like this. It said, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." Some of you may read that as babe, but that's an old English spelling for the word baby, B-A-B-E. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. I want to use this text this morning as a reading for a thought that is in my heart about why a child, why a baby. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll preach as God gives us utterance. Our Father, this morning as we come before you, Lord, we sure do love you. But most of all, we thank you for loving us the way you do. Lord, every day that we get up, Lord, we get up in the new mercies of God. And we're thankful, Lord, that every day, Lord, we can look for something new, something fresh, something alive, something wonderful in all of our lives. Now, Father, you please bless the service this morning. Lord, I pray, Father, that, Lord, you please give me the liberty of the Spirit of God to be able to preach what you've laid upon my heart. And God, that you would please, Lord, give me the unction, the utterance, the understanding that will be needed. But Lord, I pray not for myself alone. I pray for every person in this room that, Lord, you would anoint them to receive that engrafted word which is able to save the soul. And God, you please bless in the service. Lord, may we focus on Christ even now. And we're thankful for all that you'll accomplish and do. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to draw your attention to something that is emphasized in this chapter, and it's emphasized through just one word that shows up over and over and over again in this entire chapter. Look at the very last word of verse number 5, the word child. Look at the verse number 17, the end of the verse, the word child. Again, about the middle of verse 21, the word child. It goes on in verse number 27, the word child. Verse number 40 or verse number 34, the word child. Verse 40, the word child. And then again, if I'm not mistaken, later on in the chapter, it uses that word again, the word child. When you see a word emphasized over and over again like that in a passage, God is emphasizing something. He is making note of something in particular. But notice connected with this child, there's other words that are used to denote who he is talking about. Look in verse number 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, connected with this child. But here's my thought for the morning. In verse number 11, it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, look at this, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In the midst of all of this emphasis of it being a child or a baby, as the text reads, he also denotes to us that it is also a Savior, capital S, and he is Christ the Lord. Now, my thought for the morning is, we know who Jesus is. He's God manifest in the flesh, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But why did God choose coming into this world as a baby or a child? He's God Almighty, he's Lord of all, and why didn't he just come into the world as God, the invisible God, the God that we read about of the Old Testament? Why did God make choosing to come into this world as a baby? A little thought this morning concerning this child during this Christmas season. We celebrate this season as the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of this child. And among all the hustle and bustle of Christmas, it seems like, especially in what we're living in now, the coronavirus with all of its damage that it's doing, everything that it's causing in all of our lives. And then with the election confusion that's going on, and then we consider all of the things that go on at Christmas time, all of the preparation, the gift buying, and all the things that go through our minds on a daily basis during this season. It seems like Jesus gets lost among all of that stuff. It seems like Jesus becomes just a part of Christmas time. Seems like he just becomes another added thing that we do at this time and not the main thing. But I want to remind you that had it not been for Jesus Christ coming into our world, we would not even have Christmas. We would not even celebrate during this season. All around the world, when I was in India during this specified time, during this time of this year, they celebrate they call it the celebration of lights. It's called Diwali. And they light up everything. I mean, they light up everything. They put lights on the oxen. I mean, they have battery-operated lights strung around cows walking down the streets. They celebrate during this time like no other time. And all around the world, there's celebration going on at this season of Christmas. But it seems like amid all of that, Christ just becomes just a faded part of Christmas. The last verse of our reading, or not the last verse of our reading, but in verse number 40, it says about this child, said that he grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and grace of God was upon him. And as I thought upon all of this and how he came into this world, I had to ask myself this question: why did he come as a child? Why was it necessary for Christ to come into this world robed as a little baby? And I want to answer that question for us this morning and try to focus our attention back on the reason for the season, which is Jesus Christ. And try to get our hearts back where it needs to be, wrapped around this little child. I want to say, number one, that Jesus Christ came into this world so that he could learn. So that he could learn. Yes, he's God manifest in the flesh. Yes, in him was embodied all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I can't fathom it. I don't understand it. It's beyond my little pea brain. But as Mary pulled that child to her nursing breast, that was God, the one who stepped out on nothing and spoke to nothing and created everything that we have today. He created the heavens. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And yet, there he is, a little baby. And he came into this world to learn. The disciples had no problem believing that he was a man. What they struggled with was the thought that he was God, the God-man. They struggled with it. They could not fathom that who they were talking to, the man that they were following, the man that they ate and slept with, this man. They could not fathom that he was God Almighty. But you know, on this side of the cross, I have no problem believing that he is God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Down in my heart of hearts, that Jesus Christ has always been, will always be God Almighty. But what I do struggle with is the thought that he is 100% man. That just blows my mind that this little child, God, the one who, like I say, created everything, but yet he's 100% man. And why did he do that? He came to learn some things about our world. He came into this world, you think about it, sitting on the throne of the universe. God never suffered. He was never suffered to be tempted. He never suffered in hunger. He never tired. He never got sleepy. But yet he came into this world as a child so he could learn what it is for us to live in this world. The Bible says, he said himself, he said the foxes have holes. He said the birds have their nest, but the Son of Man has not even a place to lay his head. He did not even own a home. The Bible would talk about how the disciples would go to their own home, and the very next verse said that Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. He did not even own a home, yet he owned everything. Everything was his. But he came into our world to learn what it is to live in our world. 100% man. He tired. He got hungry. He slept. He needed sleep. He would go through every emotion that every one of us in this room have ever faced in our life. There's not one thing that you have ever faced in your life that Jesus Christ has not faced. He knows all about what you go through. He knows your pains. He knows your heartaches. He knows everything about you. The Bible says that we have a high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Everything that you've ever faced in life, every emotion, whether it be real or just supposed, everything that you have ever faced, Jesus came as a child to learn what you go through, to experience what you have faced. He cried. He cried at the tomb of Lazarus, and he showed his emotions over the loss of someone. Many of you in this room, you've lost somebody, you've buried somebody, and you walked away and never to enjoy another holiday celebration with them. And yet Jesus went through that exact same thing and experienced what it was to lose somebody that he loved. Oh, I'm just here to tell you that Jesus Christ came into this world as a little child so that he could learn some things about your life, so he could experience things that you have faced, things that you have everyday life. He came and he experienced it. He came to learn about our temptations. How many of you in here have been tempted with something over and over and over again, and you wonder, when am I ever going to get victory over this? Yet Jesus Christ came into this world and he faced temptation. Sitting on the throne of heaven as God, he never faced any temptation, but he came into our world and the tempter tempted him. Why? Because he wanted to experience your world. He wanted to know what it would be like to grow up in your world. Later in Luke chapter 2, you young people, listen to this. Later on in Luke chapter 2, it said that he tarried behind in Jerusalem. His parents was returning home. And they went about a day's journey. Then they realized that Jesus was not among them. So they went back. And when they went back, they found him there in the temple, and it said that he was sitting in the temple and he was hearing the Pharisees, the doctors, and talking with them about the doctrines of the Bible. And Joseph and Mary talked to him, and it said that Jesus became subject unto them. God Almighty had never been subject unto anybody. He had never been under submission to anybody, but yet Jesus came into this world as a child, young people, to learn what it would be like to have to submit to some authority. Think about it. As God, he sat on the throne of the universe, He was not under any authority whatsoever, but yet he came into this world as a child so he could learn about submission, so he could learn what it is to grow up in our world. Oh, he came in this world as a child so that he could learn something. Then he came into this world so he could learn about our sins. He became sin for us. He became my sin, your sin, everything you've ever done wrong. He became that on the cross of Calvary. He came into this world as a child, number one, so that he could learn. But secondly, he came into this world as a child so that he could listen. He listened to the Pharisees. He listened to the publicans of his day. He listened to all of them, and he would listen to their problems. He would listen to the woman at the well, the maniac of Gadara. He listened to their problems and listened to what they had to say. Sometimes in life, it seems like there's nobody that we can ever talk to about our problems. But I promise you this, there's one in heaven that knows, that's got an ear for your problems. He's there to hear what you've got to, on your heart. He wants to listen to your life. Oh, dear children, he came into this world as a child so he could listen to us. And thank God he listens well. I love that old hymn, I Must Tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. There's nothing you've ever gone through that you cannot talk to Jesus about. Oh, the devil will try to make you think, don't bother the Lord with that. That's too trivial of an issue. But Jesus is a high priest that wants to listen to everything about your life. Even when we have questions, even when we are troubled about things and are just twisted on the inside, there's one that we can talk to that knows all about our struggles. Thank God for that. He came to listen. He came to learn. But he came to love. I've never been loved like I've been loved by Jesus Christ. When I got saved, I was 29 years old, and my life was, as far as the world goes, my life was going good. I had the job of my dreams. I mean, I had things going my way, so to speak, worldly speaking. But there was an emptiness on the inside. There was something missing in my heart. Oh, I would get on that locomotive and sit there and wait for the signal to come in, and I'd hear it on the radio, or I'd see it out there in the field, the trainman waving me on, and I'd crack that throttle, and I'd feel the tug of that locomotive. And oh, I was in love with railroading. I loved it with all of my heart, but there was still something missing on the inside. I was empty, just empty on the inside. I had all the friends. I had money, had all of that. But still, my life just did not make sense. There was something in life that I knew was there, but I tried to find it in all the things that the world has to offer. But brethren, when I came to Jesus Christ, I found what I was looking for. I found love. I found the love of my life, and his name is Jesus Christ. Oh, how he has blessed me down through the years. Oh, there's been times when I didn't have much jingle in the pocket, but he was still loving on me. There was times when it seems like the friends were few, but he still loved me. There was times when I thought that I'll never see another bright day, but he still loved me. Oh, can I say it like this morning? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you with joy, with love unspeakable. Oh, I'm just trying to tell you, the reason he came into this world was to learn. It was to listen. And it was to love. When he came into this world, he proved just how much he loves us. He loves the unlovable. That's me and you. He loves those that did not love Him. That's me and you. He loves sinners. That's me and you. And thank God He does. Thank God He loves those who have messed it up. Salvation is not for those who have got it all together. That's called religion. And religion is a poor substitute for a relationship with somebody that loves you. I'm glad that I got hold of, that Jesus got hold of me before religion did. Amen. I'm glad I didn't get messed up. Well, I wasn't a church-going person. But the one who died for the church came looking for me and saved my soul. He came to love. He loves drunkards. He loves the dope heads. He loves those, we call it, of ill repute. We have to change the words today just so we can handle it. But He loves the whores and the whoremongers, as the Bible calls it. He sees it as it is. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He looks at us through the eyes of God, but He still loves us. He loves the rich. He loves the educated. He loves the simple. He loves the sodomites. I believe that the sodomites, the gays and the lesbians, I believe if they repent, they can get saved like anybody else. I believe that with all of my heart. And He loves all. He loves those we don't love. He loves every person and wants to save them. He does not want any to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. Thank God He does. The greatest word of the gospel is whosoever. And that includes us all. And thank God it does. I'm glad that Jesus came to love. I heard a story one time of a woman who was married and they had two children. And the woman was unsettled in her heart and there was always something there. And one day the husband came home and the wife was gone. And he didn't know what had happened to her. He called the police and the police came and they made the report and they looked for days and days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months and they could not find her. And then one day he heard that she was living about 200 miles away and she was living in a motel. And so he didn't know what was going on. He began writing letters and sending it to her and he would address it to that motel and send it to her. And he never heard one response. And weeks went by and he would send a letter every day and he never heard from her. And finally, he made up his mind, I'm going to go to that motel. And finally, he went to that motel and drove up and went and knocked on that door. And he knocked on that door and she opened the door and he said, honey, he said, where have you been? Why are you here? And they questioned her. And she opened her arms and threw her arms around him and embraced him. And he said, honey, will you come home? She said, yes, I will. And they got in the car and they were riding the 200 miles home. And he asked her, he said, I wrote you all of those letters. Did you not get them? And she said, yes, I got every one of them. I read every one of them. He said, well, you never responded. She said, but they were just letters. She said, but when you showed up at my door, I knew that you loved me. I knew that you really cared. And she said, that's when I made up my mind I'd go home with you. Oh, I'm just trying to tell you that we've read about it, but one day He's coming. One day He's coming, and He's proven His love to us every day. But one day, Jesus is coming for us. Amen. He came to learn. He came to listen. He came to love. But He came as a child to lay down His life for us. He was born to die. He was born for Calvary. And how this child grew 33 years old. I've told people my story about my dad at times, and And I'll tell them, well, my dad died at the age of 42. And they'll always say this, that is mighty young age to die, 42 years old, and it is. But you think about Jesus Christ, 33 years old. How many of you in here is in your 30s? Raise your hand. In your 30s. That's how old Jesus was when he went to Calvary. 30 years old. Went to Calvary, and it was the reason that he was born. He was born for that. He was born to go to Calvary. He was born to suffer. Born to die for my sins and for your sins. He was born so that he could die for me and for you. Heard a story one time about this preacher man. He was an older preacher. He'd been preaching on Calvary, been preaching on the cross for quite a while. And one night he had a dream. And during that dream, it was a horrible dream to him. He was dreaming that he was there that day at Calvary. And in his dream, he dreamed that he saw Jesus Christ taking his cross down the road, headed to Calvary. He had already been beaten, and he looked upon the body of Jesus, and it was so marred. It was beaten all over, and there were stripes all over his body. And there was not a place on his body where there was not blood flowing. And he watched as Jesus carried that cross up the hill. And then he followed Jesus, and he watched him as he was on the hill, and he watched him as he went over there and just laid down on the cross. And he watched, and it was just tormenting him in his dream. And he watched as Jesus laid there on that cross. And then he watched as a Roman soldier took a hammer in one hand and a big old spike in the other. And he watched as that soldier took that spike and put it upon the hands of Jesus. And he drew back, and at that moment he could not stand it any longer. And he said in his dream he ran over there and grabbed that soldier and threw him to the ground. And when that soldier rolled over, he looked into the face of that soldier, and it was himself. And then he realized that it was himself that put Jesus on the cross. It was you. It was your sins that put Jesus Christ on the cross. He was there because of you. He was there because of me. He died on Calvary. He suffered all that he suffered. And I believe this, and I've been preaching and I still preach it. If you were the only one, he would have still gone to Calvary for you. Oh, if I was the only one, he would have still gone for me. That's what Christmas is all about. Little girl was at a party. Sis, you come on to the piano. Little girl was at a party, and all the Christmas gifts were there. And she opened her gifts, and each one was so beautifully wrapped with the bows and all that goes along with all that. And she opened every one of them, and she would look at each gift, and she would set this gift to the side. Then she would open another present and open it. And then after the party, after the time of opening of gifts, someone asked her, said, "Well, honey, did you get all that you wanted for Christmas?" And she thought about it a minute, and she said, "Well, honestly, no, but it's not my birthday." You know, sometimes we get so wrapped up at Christmas time. We get so busy and so involved in the hustle and bustle of Christmas that Jesus just becomes a part of Christmas. But I'm just trying to get across to you that Christmas, Jesus Christ, is what Christmas is all about. It's not about the gifts. It's not about how much money we can spend. It's not the price of a gift that we may give at this time of year. It's about this child by the name of Jesus who came into our world so he could learn, so he could listen, so he could love, so that he could lay down his life for me and for you. Think about this. He was rejected that you might be accepted. He was condemned that you might be forgiven. He was punished that you might be pardoned. He suffered that you might be saved. He was wounded that you might be healed. And he was hated that you might be loved. This child. Why a child? Because he wanted to learn something about your life. He wanted to learn about you so that he could become a personal savior to you. As we all stand this morning, first Sunday, this is the first Sunday of December. And I know that we've got a lot going on in our world. There's a lot of things that's being played out right in front of us. A little bit later on, I'm going to be bringing a message about the undercurrent, things going on that we're not seeing happen. But with all of this that's happening, let's keep our focus on Jesus Christ. He's the reason that we're celebrating this season anyway. Let's not forget him. Let's not put him as just a part of what Christmas is all about. With the heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, could we find ourselves across these altars this morning just saying, Lord, I want Christmas to be real this year. I really want to celebrate Christmas. I want to celebrate what it's all about. I don't want it just become a part. Lord, I really want it to be all about you. There may be somebody here this morning that's never been saved. Today would be a good day for you to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe somebody here this morning that you don't have a personal relationship. All you know about Jesus, but you don't have that relationship that he came into this world to give. There may be somebody here that say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. Here's my hand. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Anybody in this auditorium, preacher? I'm not saved. I know I need to be saved, and here's my hand. Anybody? Anybody at all? Our Father, this morning, we just want to thank you from the depths of our heart for all that you do for us, Lord. You're mighty good, mighty wonderful. Lord, you're God Almighty, but yet you're my friend. Lord, I thank you and love you for being the God that you are. Thank you for taking such great care of us, Lord, when we can't even take care of ourselves. Lord, there you are. We're thankful for that this day. Lord, you bless all of our people. Bless, Lord, with the blessings of this holiday season, Christmas. God, please bless our people in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't let Jesus just become a part of what Christmas is all about. Let him be the main thing this year. Brother Terry and Brother Mike have something they want to do this morning.